Well, this has already been a wonderful night of worship, singing these songs, living out that command from Colossians 3:16 to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. These aimed at the incarnation, the birth of our Lord. What praise, what rejoicing we can do, and we have been doing tonight as we sing these songs. If we haven't met yet, I just want to welcome you on behalf of our Indian Hills family. I'm Pastor Jesse Randolph. I'm the teaching pastor here at the church, and I just want to make sure I invite you all, if you don't have a church home or if you're looking for a church home, to join us for worship any Sunday, any time of the year. We have 10 a.m. worship services, we have 6 p.m. worship services, and even next week we have two services on Christmas Eve, both a 10 a.m. service, but not a 6 p.m. service next week, but a 4 p.m. service for the day of the holiday. So I just want to make sure you're invited and you know that you're welcome to join us for worship. This has been already, again, a wonderful night, and just singing these songs that have such familiarity to us. O Come All Ye Faithful is one that just stands out as one that we've sung, I'm sure, at various points in our lives. And there are others that are new to many of us, I'm sure, new hymns and new arrangements, and they're just glorious to listen to. This morning, we were singing a song in our main gathering, O Holy Night. It's not one we're going to sing tonight, but one we got to sing this morning. And there's a lyric in that hymn that really stood out to me. It's that lyric that talks about the weary soul rejoicing. The weary soul rejoicing. And that just got me thinking all day about being weary and weariness. And that hymn was written, by the way, in 1847. And they were already talking, the hymn writer was, about being weary and weariness. And I wonder what they would think about the year 2023 and how weary we can get. And how weary we are and how weary we can be in various phases of our life. I mean, we look at the world all around us and we can be weary. Weary from work and weary from our jobs. Many of us, I'm sure, are already weary when we think about politics and government in the 2024 elections. Many get weary in the middle of familial strife and angst and heartache and heartbreak. Many get weary just through the grind of the daily schedule. And when we think about all the things that have to happen, not in the rest of this year and then the year to come, many get weary from the simple glow of a screen, a computer that we hold in our pocket for hours on end every day as it wears down not just its batteries, but ours. We can get very, very weary and worn down. And Christmas helps with that, right? Our energy gets boosted in Christmas time? Not always. No, through the various trappings of Christmas and the things that go on at Christmas, the bake sales and the concerts and the performances and all the places that we have to run around and get to, we can often find ourselves getting more and more weary and more dragged down and more exhausted and more tired. And then we come to a place like this tonight and we hear these gifted musicians performing and these gifted singers singing. And it's a great opportunity to kind of step back from all the hubbub and all the exhaustion and all the shopping and all the decorating and all the wrapping and all the baking and all the you name it, and just have a night where we can gather, where we can sit, where we can sing, where we can enjoy, and we can just relax. But I'm sure that there are many here in the room who you're very aware of the fact that you'll go home tonight and you will be one of those weary souls because Monday's coming and the countdown to Christmas is coming. I always appreciate on 84th Street that storage facility that tells us exactly how many days are left until Christmas. Speaking of getting weary and stressed out. But you come here and you're able to sort of check out for an hour and enjoy the hymns and enjoy the songs and enjoy the fellowship and later enjoy the cookies. But if you're honest with yourself, you realize I have a weary soul, and my weary soul doesn't rejoice. And I got to tell you, friend, if that's you, it won't be just coming to a concert that's going to take care of that for you. And frankly, it won't just be coming to church that's going to take care of that for you. It won't be being around Christian people. It won't be wrapping presents. It won't be eating Christmas cookies or wearing Christmas sweaters that's going to take care of that for you. None of that will ultimately take care of the weary soul if your weary soul is not rejoicing this year. Rather, the only way that your weary soul will rejoice, the only way that any of our weary souls ultimately rejoice or can rejoice is by knowing that we have peace with God. Knowing that we have a stable and a true and a living and an abiding relationship with God. Again, it won't have anything to do with things you did or places you went or places you visited or people you saw. It has everything to do with, do you have a relationship with the living God? Do you have peace with God? Do you trust, if you were to fall asleep tonight and never wake up, that your soul would go on to live with him forever? That's how the weary soul can truly rejoice, not just at Christmas time, but all year long. So how can the weary soul rejoice? How can the person who's not sure if they have peace with God or if they're in a right relationship with God be sure? How can they know that they know that they belong to God? And how can they know that they have eternal life and salvation? I'm glad you asked. The way that a person knows that their weary soul can rejoice, the way that a person knows that they have eternal life, the way that a person knows that they can have true joy and peace in knowing the living God is by believing in the message of the gospel. The gospel, the Greek word is euangelion, that simply means good news. The gospel is the good news message of what God has done for sinners like you and I in sending his son into the world to die on our behalf so that our sins might be forgiven and eternal life and fellowship might be brought with God. And the gospel is as simple as that. God sent his son into the world to die on our behalf. But there's some complexity to it. And I want to make sure we get into some of the weeds of it and some of the details of it. Because sadly, there are so many churches and ministers and pastors and Christians today who water it way, way down to where it's almost unrecognizable from what we see in the scriptures. Here's what you need to know about the gospel, the biblical gospel. You need to know, first of all, who God is. And some of this, by the way, is on the back of your program for tonight. I won't do the whole thing, don't worry, but you need to know who God is. There are so many today who just don't know who God is. They have this murky idea of the God they say they believe in. You know, maybe it's the same God that the Muslims worship, and maybe it's the same God that the Mormons worship, and maybe it's the same God that the Catholics worship, but he's not. We know from the scripture that God is the creator. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know he's the owner of all things. Psalm 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, says Psalm 50. He's the creator. And as the creator, he has prerogative to do what he wants to do with his creation and with those whom he's created. And whether you want to believe it or not, the fact is you are created. You aren't sludge that evolved. You are an image bearer of the living God. God created them male and female, it says in Genesis 1:26. And what he created us to do is ultimately to obey him and to give him glory. So God is the creator. God is also holy. And this is where so many watered down gospel messages, if I can say it that way, get it wrong. They eliminate the holiness of God. They won't talk about the fact that God is perfect and he demands justice and he is transcendent. He's in a class by himself. He is the Holy One of all creation. He's in a class of his own, perfect, the definition of perfection. And as a perfect God, he necessarily demands perfection of his subjects. That's you and me. We live in his world, in his creation. He's perfect. He expects perfection. He wouldn't be perfect if he didn't expect perfection from every single one of us. Matthew 5:48 says it this way. Jesus says, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is always where I like to take the poll and ask people in the room, are you that one perfect person that Jesus spoke of? The one who never lies and the number one that has never told a lie, the one who has never stolen or been fraudulent or you name the sin. I really doubt it. So we worship this holy God who's the creator. He expects us to be holy. The problem is we aren't. And that's the testimony very clearly of scripture. Psalm 51:5 says, in sin did our mothers conceive us. So we are sinful by our very nature. And then Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, not even one. And then Romans 6:23 says there's a penalty associated with our lack of holiness, our lack of perfection, our sin state, and our sin practice, and that's death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. physical death, the fact that we will all go into the grave one day, spiritual death, the fact that we are relationally separated from God our Father, and eternal death, the fact that if we do not repent and believe in the gospel, we will be separated forever from our Creator and spend an eternity in hell. So that's what we have so far. God who is holy, God who is the Creator, God who expects perfection, and here's who we are. We are sinners, and we do sin, and we have a penalty for sin hanging over our head. That's where Christ comes in. That's where the incarnation comes in. That's where the Christmas message comes in, that God did send his Son into the world to pay that penalty for sin. Jesus is both God and man. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He is fully God and fully man," meaning he was able to, through his birth and later through his death, be that perfect sacrifice, that spotless, sinless lamb who could stand in the place for sinners like you and I, taking the penalty for our sin and having no sin of his own. He was the perfect, spotless lamb. The perfect sacrificial atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful demonstration of God's love to mankind. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That Christ, fully God, fully man. So now that's where most people will say, wonderful, that's fantastic. I'm so excited about this news. Merry Christmas, Jesse. I love that you're so positive. God sent Jesus into the world. Amen. And that's where we have to make sure that we understand that understanding the gospel is not all that's required. This isn't just about intellectual volition. This isn't just about intellectual assent. The Bible is also very clear, not only about what the gospel message is, but the Bible is very clear about what the gospel message compels and what the gospel message requires. And what the gospel message requires is that a sinner like you or like me repent and believe in that gospel. To repent means to turn. The Greek verb there is metanoia. It's an old Greek military term. Then the whole picture, it's so crystal clear. I love how God has given us such clarity here. Metanoia means I was walking in one direction in my old life. I was marching off a cliff to hell. I was on the path of sin and loving my sin and living for my sin. But metanoia means I made an about face. I turned from my sin and I followed my new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repentance. But repentance isn't all by itself. It's not some work that we do. Repentance is always accompanied by faith. That's why Jesus said in Mark 1:15, we must repent and believe in that gospel. So repentance is born of faith, and then faith will always breed true repentance. They're like the two wings of a dove or the twin wings of an airplane. They go hand in hand. They have to go together. Repent and believe in the gospel. So that really is what we are all about here at Indian Hills. We are all a bunch of people who have been redeemed. We have been saved. We realize it is not about anything we are or what we did or how good we are or our family name or how much we thought we earned or how good we thought we could be. What we understand and what we appreciate and what we celebrate each and every Sunday, not just on Christmas, is that we are unworthy sinners who worship a wonderful Savior who because of God's love, came into this world to die on our behalf so that we might be restored to him, have fellowship with him, and worship him forever. That is the greatest gift that any one of us in this room who call ourselves Christians has ever received. Nothing under the tree, nothing parked out in the garage or out in the driveway with a red bow on it could ever come close to the gift of salvation that God has given to his people. And I just want to make sure before I step down here that if you have not come to Christ, I plead with you, whether you do it in your seat tonight or you talk to somebody out in the lobby or while we're eating cookies in the gym later, make sure you don't leave this place without knowing that you know the living God. Make sure you don't leave this place without being sure of your salvation, which again has nothing to do with how many rosary beads you've ever prayed or how many aisles you've walked or how many times as a kid you got baptized. And it has everything to do with what Christ has done on your behalf by dying on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. If you believe in that message and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin and rose from the grave, I can assure you, you can take it to the bank on the authority of God's word that you will be saved. And there's no greater gift than that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the truth and the clarity and the promises of your word. I thank you for the truth and the clarity of the gospel message. And I do pray that if there's anybody here this evening who has not committed their life to Jesus Christ by repenting and believing in this gospel message, this simple gospel message, that tonight would be the night that you would gift them with the gift of salvation. And for those of us who have come to faith in Christ, we thank you for the precious gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.